We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Timeline is a Blue Wire podcast. Alright, Sam, they are down 0-2. How you feeling?
You sound excited.
I mean...
or like you're trying to salvage
free.
This pod already in some
I'm almost
way
free of this
that
team.
That we know is unsalvageable.
They're almost done.
Alright, guys. Here's the deal. We've covered a lot of bad basketball. We've covered a lot of bad vibes in our lives and throughout the run of this pod. Just throughout the run of this pod, we started this pod during Igor Kokoschkov's 19-win season. We covered blowing a 2-0 finals lead to the Milwaukee Bucks. We covered losing at home in Game 7 to the Dallas Mavericks by 30, 40, whatever it was, points. I'm trying not to recency bias this too much because, again, it's 2 minutes after the buzzer here. But this might be as bad as I've ever felt about a Suns team and as disgusted as I've ever been.
I feel differently.
Go ahead. How do you feel?
I just feel like this team has done this so many times this season that none of it is really that surprising. Now, this is not to take away any credit.
It's not that it's surprising. Let me just say, it's not that it's surprising. I'll get into it in a minute. You go ahead.
Not to take any credit away from the Minnesota Timberwolves. I just want to start by saying that because I think they're a much more poised basketball team than the Suns are at this point. And they have been all season. The Suns, in that I've described them as the DeAndre of teams this season, in that at times they look really great. They look like world beaters. At other times, they look awful. They look like one of the worst teams in the NBA. And you sort of roll the dice and find out which team is going to show up on a game-to-game basis. And I think watching these last two games, you're seeing the worst version of that team in these last two games. And I guess there's nothing surprising about it in a way. So for me, the extent to which my expectations were so lowered at times during the regular season, I don't feel like this is any sort of nadir. I just feel like this is the team we've seen all year, and now we're seeing it in the playoffs.
No, that's fine.
It's not to
That's
say it's
fine.
Not a failure
I mean,
of a season.
You're right.
It's a massive failure of a season.
No, I get it. Okay, and here's the part where we have to throw out, look, like I just said, they blew a 2-0 series lead to the Bucks in the finals. They could do the same thing to the Timberwolves. But like, does anyone really trust this team to win four of the next five right now? Yes, it technically could happen.
Yeah.
So I'm obligated. I'm obliged to say it. It's just none of us feel like that's going to happen. Why I'm disappointed, Mike, and you're right, statistically speaking, they're just doing what they've done all season. They were the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA in the regular season. Why wouldn't it stand to reason that that trend would continue?
They've had a massive
playoffs?
Turnover problem
but I guess,
throughout the regular season, and that turnover problem continued
right,
tonight.
And it reared its ugly head again tonight. They had 19 turnovers. at a certain point, my copium, though, with this team was that eventually, not that I thought a switch would just flip and it would happen overnight, but I did think that talent would eventually prevail and that all of the other problems with this team, you can complain about Frank Vogel, whose job is probably toast.
And has done a bad job.
Sure, but yeah. Throw that to the side for a second, okay? You can complain about Frank Vogel and his rotations. You can complain about Yusuf Nurkic if he's a downgrade from DeAndre Ayton, he can't finish at the rim. What can you do with him defensively? You can complain about Eric Gordon is old. We wish he was less old and his body was less crippled. You can complain about the minimum signings that James Jones made last summer and how none of them really turned out the way we wanted. And, you know, maybe they traded for Royce O'Neal. That was all they could do for us in terms of depth. None of it really matters, man. Because we've got three stars who I thought when push came to shove would just be there to fight through adversity and show some grit in a way that would matter and has that none of them have been there. You know, I think Brad is a bit of a special case because it's like, I don't regret the Brad trade still, I think, not because I think he's good and not because I'm interested in defending him, I'm not, but just because just talent for talent.
Expectations are lower for him too, is that part of it?
It was the best we could do. But for Book and KD to be so flustered coming out here in the playoffs and so obviously unreactive to the physicality of the Timberwolves is just sad. It just starts with them, dude. Like, criticize Frank all you want, but he was so animated on the sidelines today. Again, I don't think he's doing a good job, but he was so animated just because it was clear he was fighting for his job out there. He was trying to show all of us, trying to show Matt Ishbia that at the very least he gives a shit, which is something that you can't necessarily say if you look at the guys on the court right now. The entire coaching staff was getting out of their seats, yelling at the players to pick up the pace, to do anything that might take away some of the stagnant offense that we were seeing from tip until the final buzzer. Never happened. They're begging at them. They're begging them all season long to shoot threes, shoot more threes. Never happened. All of the stuff, in a way, this game hurts so much more than last game because all the stuff we talked about last game was a story of you let the Timberwolves take 15 more shots than you. You know, Yusuf Nurkic had 4 rebounds, right? That's one thing. In this game, yes, the Suns committed a lot of turnovers, but you know what? Honestly, the Timberwolves committed a lot of turnovers too. The Suns grabbed a lot of rebounds. Yusuf Nurkic, who by all, I don't think he was good in this game, but he grabbed 14 rebounds versus the 4 he had in game one. This was not a case like game one where you were taking 15 fewer shots. You had the possessions to beat this team. The Timberwolves did not look particularly good in this game, and you just fucked it up. You gave them 25 points or whatever it was off turnovers, and you yourselves could not execute like a single play in transition. Nor did you seem to have any interest in doing so. They just did not have it. So what are we supposed to do with that? Like, are we supposed to defend that? Are we supposed to come out here now and say, oh, it's fine, guys. You know, you're supposed to lose the 2 on the road. They'll flip it around in game 3. They might make it a long series, but honestly, dude, there were people in my Twitter replies tonight saying, like, maybe the Timberwolves should just mercy kill them in 4 and then... And then we'll blow it all up and at least we'll get a fresh start. And honestly, at times tonight, I felt
no,
the same
way. 100% understand that perspective, to be honest, in that, like I said to start this podcast, in some ways, I'm waiting to be free of this team because of how torturous it is to watch them. Because on certain nights, you really love them. You really enjoy them. But when they're bad, they're just so easy to hate. With how they play, because it's turning the ball over. It's playing at a slower pace than necessary. And I think once the entire NBA shifted over to allowing more physicality, I think that really impacted a lot of them negatively in that Kevin Durant struggles with more physicality, 6-for-15 in this game. Devin Booker at times can struggle with more physicality. I think he played better in this game, but by no means was he good. He had 6 turnovers.
He absolutely struggles with more physicality. I've come down hard on KD a lot throughout the season because I think he struggles with physicality for sure. And McDaniels has been a problem for him in this series, been a problem for Booker too.
I think Booker likes it when he has the strength advantage. But if there's someone that can be physical that he does not have the strength advantage over, it's too much for him. It makes him struggle.
B- Booker demanding that Vogel challenge the call where he obviously hooked Cat for an offensive foul was like the final straw for me tonight. I was like, come on, are you fucking serious? In a critical moment, I don't even know how much they were down by at that point, but I think it was still like 6 or 7. It was still within reach. It was before the bottom fell out. But it's like, you are not being a serious basketball player right now. You're just not. And some of the butterfinger turnovers, 6 turnovers for him, 4 turnovers for Beal, only 2 for Durant. Durant's ball security was not as bad tonight.
And less of the ball in his hands in process-wise, which made a lot of sense. And that they're shifting it over to Beal and Devin Booker, and it, which looked good, I think, in the first half in particular, in running the offense in the way that they were. Once they switched over to Drew Eubanks, I actually thought the ball looked a little better in Kevin Durant's hand. Drew Eubanks actually pretty good in this game, believe it or not.
He was.
17 minutes,
he
played well.
Was. Didn't matter.
I mean, we talked about it in our preview of this series because of the way the Timberwolves defend the Suns in that they're just putting two guys really, really high trying to force turnovers. If the ball can get to Drew Eubanks on the roll, he's going to have an open shot at the rim against a smaller defender. And he capitalized on that in this game with a few nice dunks and actually played pretty good defense. This was his best game that he's played so far in a long time, I would say. And I think on the other side of that, matching where Nurkic actually struggled, even though Nurkic did well rebounding, I think he struggled a bit defensively. And then, of course, with Nurkic, it's about, and I don't actually often blame this on Nurkic, to be honest, but it's about all of a sudden when the offense gets bogged down to Nurkic shooting a shot after dribbling 5 times, it's like somebody else has to go get the ball from him. You know, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant,
well,
don't let him do that. What are you doing?
I don't understand. I don't understand why they're content. They're just standing around the perimeter watching him go at Rudy Gobert, and they know he's not going to make that shot. So it's like, where is your drive as a superstar to take over the game at a certain point? And all of them, too, just continuing to pass up open threes or, like, driving the ball with 3 or 4 seconds
Yuta
left
drives.
On the shot clock and then dumping it off. Just like playing hot potato and dumping it off to a teammate and obviously setting them up to fail, being like, your Devin Booker is 3 seconds left. Okay, Royce, here's a ball. 1/2 second left on the shot clock. Mm-hmm. Good luck. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? It didn't make any sense, man. And I promise we'll try and grasp at something optimistic here in a few minutes. But like, you know, you look at the other side. And you think about now, you come back home to Phoenix. They will get an extra day of rest again, which, thank God, we all need it again.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the other side of the box score here, and you're thinking, Carl Anthony Towns was in foul trouble. He played 24 minutes in this game. And Anthony Edwards shot 3 for 12.
The Suns played good defense.
And you lost like this?
And I think...
You lost... But you lost by... Were it not for the +5 that the garbage time guys did, you lost by basically 20.
17, yeah.
Under those circumstances?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top 3 things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think the way that this game went to, McDaniels had an awesome game, I think, overall. He's just an awesome player. Very Mikal Bridges-like in his turnaround fadeaway shots that he was taking in the game as well. They won with the type of players that the Suns don't have, because I do think the Suns obviously did a good job on their stars in that Towns with 12 and Edwards with 15. But then you have McDaniels with 25, Gobert, a bit of a role player, obviously more important than a regular role player on a regular team, had 18. And then Nikhil Alexander-Walker with 10 points off the bench and was plus 14 in those minutes. And these guys are finding ways to score when the Suns are loading up against their stars and not always on wide open shots. Like, I think McDaniels in particular was taking shots over Kevin Durant. He was taking shots at the rim over guys that were diving at him, whether it be Nurkic or Booker, and just making some difficult shots in this. And, you know, it's just funny to see a team like this where the talent is pretty well spread out across the team. It's not to say they don't have a lot of money invested at the top. They still have a lot of money invested at the top. But the Suns are much more top-heavy in their salary, and they don't have other guys that can step up in that same way, especially, by the way, and this is an important part of this game, if Grayson Allen is out, because Grayson Allen is the one guy that can at times step up. And by the way, looked pretty good in this game, moving him around off the ball, setting proper screens for Devin Booker or Devin Booker setting screens for him. And even in times when the Suns were struggling to get the ball up the floor because of the pressure, they gave it to Grayson. And now Grayson was getting the ball past half court, and the offense was starting with a bunch more time on the shot clock.
I was thinking that he was doing a great job of that. And then, like, 1 minute after that thought popped into my head, he went down. And it's tough because, like, Eric Gordon played pretty well today.
Yeah.
He made threes. Yeah. But he can't do what Grayson does consistently for 30 minutes for the rest of the series. His body just won't allow him to do it.
And also, he's not good at the off-ball movement the way Grayson is. Grayson's just better at that. Yeah,
he's not.
He never has been, really.
And I love Royce, but Royce did not attempt a shot in 17 minutes today. And that can happen with him.
Yeah, and I think he was pretty good.
Because he is not going to take the same attempts.
Another thing with Grayson,
but
too,
he's not the same player.
Very intent on boxing out. He's the guy I feel like that doesn't forget to box out when guys are going up. Now, it doesn't always end up with a lot of rebounds, but helps the rebounding battle a lot. I have a feeling the Suns are at their best in rebounding when he was on the floor tonight in the 17 minutes he did play. Rolled the same ankle, if anyone missed it or didn't realize what happened, rolled the same ankle that he had problems with previously by landing, I think, on Conley's foot in a way that, I don't know, he's probably going to be out the next game. I'd be shocked if he played. And maybe more than that, if there is an option to come back after two games, maybe he could come back at that point, but didn't look good for him. It's an ankle sprain where he rolled it a little forward, a little to the side. And it's a Grayson series. We've talked about it a lot. And he's not a make or break player for the series, of course, but the Suns are lacking in talent to make up for when guys are unable to play in that, you know, Royce O'Neal is okay. He can play more. Eric Gordon is okay. He can play more. And that's it. You know, that's it. You can't really replace what Grayson does. And they're going to struggle a lot without him. I mean, to be honest, this is a really tough team to often talk about adjustments or improvements in what they can do in the next game. Because maybe the answer is play more Eubanks. But we've seen how badly that can go at times. And, you know, that's almost never the answer. So we've seen that.
And maybe you go small, which they did not attempt at all today. But then you could easily just fall back into a game one situation where now you've surrendered 15 more offensive rebounds.
Yeah, exactly.
So they got to find a balance. They just have to find a balance where you're existing with a big on the floor, whether that be Nurkic or Eubanks or whatever, but you are still, if you're the star players, you are still making a concerted effort to get up the floor faster and to get into your offense faster. And if that means whoever has to start with it, I mean, obviously they'll give the ball to Nurkic a lot, but if you're trying to get Book or KD off the ball, if that means more Brad on the ball, if it means more Eric Gordon on the ball, I guess, yeah. If he's the guy who's like logging the minutes,
he might
instead
start.
Of Grayson.
It could be Royce. It could
whatever
be Eric.
You gotta,
I don't know.
Could be Royce. But whatever you got to do, man, you got to show fight. That's the big thing. Game three, you can come back. As we all know, you can come back from a 2-0 deficit. It happens all the time. Not all the time, but it happens.
I mean, you can only afford to lose one more game, really, right? So that's 4 out of 5 that you have to win.
Well, but what I'm saying is no one's ever come back from 3-0.
Exactly.
We know that.
Yeah.
So if you don't get a quintessential superstar Devin Booker or Kevin Durant, at least one of them performance in game three, mm-hmm. it's over. It's yeah. just over.
Or Bradley Beal. You know, Bradley Beal could
this
have
is,
35.
I know we say it all the time. Sure. I know we say it all the time, Mike. And so it's lost its meaning because it's just become this like ironic joke. But game three truly is a legacy performance. It literally is this time a legacy performance for these guys at the top of the line. Because if they do not show up in game three, it's not just Frank Vogel who's on the chopping block. It's not just, you know, let's sign someone instead of Eric Gordon and run it back next year.
Yeah,
yay.
Right.
It's, we don't know. This could be a very chaotic summer, folks. I'm excited
I like
for
the
prospect of, like, you know, we'll cover it. We like rosterbation, but I don't want it to have to come to that. I want them to come back and show some fight and win this series. But if it has to come to that, if we have to spend our entire summer talking about Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal trades, you know we'll be there. we'll be posting the episodes. I can give you 30 trade machine ideas right now if I have to. Just give me half an hour, I can whip them up. So that's where we're at, guys. It is not a good place to be right now.
For me, I think that I was so down on the team after the regular season. They closed the season strong. I think there was a little bit of luck in the schedule where the tough teams they did play against were missing some players that helped them out a little bit at the end as well. But they closed it strong enough for me to give them a little bit more credit. And I think to the point that this team was built, like I said in the preview, it was built for the playoffs. The trades that were made were after embarrassing playoff losses. They were because of their inability to perform at the biggest moments. The idea was you have more star power, you have more to be able, by the way, to score in those moments, which they had 93 points in this game, credit to the Timberwolves. But I was willing to give them the chance to see if they could come through in those moments. And having said that, it is only 2 games, right? You never know what can happen in the next few games. But there's very little to point at as major positives in those first 2 games. You had the first half by Kevin Durant in game one, and then the first quarter of game two?
Not even the first quarter. Not even the first quarter. They went down 8-0. It was like a 10-minute stretch between the mid-first quarter and the early second quarter, and that was it. And it's funny you mentioned like the past trades that happened because of guys' inability to perform in crucial moments. Like, yeah, that's why we all came down so hard on DA, and that's why the DA trade finally happened, because we doubted his ability to perform and to raise his level when it mattered most. I'm not above admitting that, like, it's only fair to then levy those same criticisms at these guys who are making the most money on this team at a certain point. If they meet the same fate, you know, if they also look like they don't give a shit in a playoff series, then they may need to meet the same fate as DeAndre. I don't care. I mean, I'm fucking sick of it. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter if you have a signature shoe, you don't have a signature shoe. You just gotta care more.
I think that there's probably some stuff going on in the locker room that's impacting this as well, which is not any defense of them, but the offense should be better than it is. And it's not, by the way, a question of the offense should be better right now in the NBA playoffs, because it should be, don't get me wrong. But it should have been better all season. this team has a lot of good offensive players, and they have yet to reach anywhere close to what that ceiling could be offensively. Now, that is on the players, and that is on the coaching staff. Like, I'm not gonna separate that, but that does, to me, say that they should probably figure out a way to try it again with a different scheme, with a different coach, with different ideas. Somebody else. And you know what it is? Honestly, Sam, a different voice, a different person, because it might be the same stuff. It just might be getting them to buy in to it a little bit more, because whatever Frank is telling them, because we know a lot of the concepts that we're asking them to do, play faster, you know, find ways to maybe, I don't know if this is true, but I'm doubting Frank Vogel wants the offense to run through Nurkic post-ups at the rim. You know, like, those are probably things he's not telling them to do. But that message is not penetrating. It's not getting through to the players
They make $40 million a year. How are you supposed to motivate them? Like, what do we want a coach to do in terms of being a motivator? I just don't understand what they can do. Just yell at them more? Is it really as simple as that? Is that what I think that's what people online believe, but I don't think that's going to help. I think when you have guys, when someone tells you who they are, that they're chilling, you believe them. You believe that they're chillers. Yeah. These are chillers. They're not hoopers. They're not even basketball players. They're chillers. And that's the worst criticism I could possibly give of any of them, the worst indictment of any of their characters right now.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, it's tough. I want to say the Suns could absolutely win a game or even the next two games. And then we're talking about an even series. It's a 3-game series at that point. But I do want to say that you have a game where Anthony Edwards is bad. I mean, he made good reads, you know, but like he only scored 15 points and everyone else did step up. And Karl Anthony Towns in foul trouble the whole game, only scored 12 points. And you're not really ever close to winning in the second half, ever, really. And to me, that just shows it's just a bad sign for the next few games because the chances of getting another game where both Towns and Anthony Edwards are bad, pretty low. You know, it's pretty low. Both of those guys have been pretty good offensively this year, and Anthony Edwards showed what he can do in game one. And so, you know, the Suns have to find other ways to do other things because that's not something they can bet on for the next game. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, you know, they do say role players play better at home. Maybe they get the same types of games out of Edwards and Towns, but all of a sudden McDaniels can't score 25 points. That's possible. And maybe somebody like Eric Gordon has, you know, 15. Well, he had 15 in this game, but maybe he has 15 again. And, you know, he actually finds a way to score.
Or Royce.
Yeah, actually
Royce
shoots a shot.
Gives you 16 points with a bunch of threes. Yeah, I mean, for sure. We have to anticipate that they will come out like their lives depend on it in game three because they are professional basketball players. The slight defense I'll give of them, too, is that I know these guys are hurting, like literally their bodies. I know a lot of them are playing through injuries. KD is old. Beal has had so many hiccups this season. Booker is like, you know, straining. It feels like for some reason or another, basically every quarter, every half of these games, something happens to Booker that makes me wince. So I know that they're playing through stuff. But the Timberwolves are playing through stuff too. Karl Anthony Towns returned from injury that had kept him out for weeks. He returns like a week ago. Okay. Like, they're all playing through stuff. They're all professional athletes. They just have to figure it out. Mike Conley is ancient. His bones are congealing, Mike.
And he was good in this game.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You got to find a way.
And like, strategy wise, I'll say it again. If you're listening to this expecting some a deep dive into exactly what the Suns did that went wrong, I don't know. A lot of what they were doing made a lot of sense. You know, they just obviously take more threes. Like, that's an obvious one. I don't know how many times we have to beg for it throughout the entire regular season, but they only took 22 in this game, and they were turning some down, right? It wasn't just that Minnesota was forcing them to not shoot them. Devin Booker was catching it and hesitating because of how good their defense has been. You know, he is hesitating on shooting that three, and he was 1 for 6.
They are really afraid. They are really afraid of the length of McDaniels, which I understand to a certain point, but just too afraid. Just take more threes.
Durant took two.
If you're a good player,
both, like, impossible.
Yeah, if you're a good player, you have to trust in it. There was good stuff that they did schematically defensively, right? I mean, they kept Ant in check because they continued to do a really good job of throwing different looks at him. They kept Cat in check mostly because of foul trouble, but also I love what they're doing just fronting him with everyone. That's something they started doing in game one, but now they're just doing it in every matchup in game two, just fronting Cat, not allowing him to initiate any offense out of the post.
Yeah, and they're forcing the ball to Gobert a lot, and Gobert, to his credit, is
being proactive.
Yeah, and Gobert, to his credit, is actually
they're being
doing
proactive
well
instead of reactive. Mm-hmm. Offensively, I don't think there's a single good thing I could say about their process, though.
I think
I'm really not
well.
Sure
I think they
is.
Actually did a much better job of freeing Devin Booker up in this game and finding him a matchup that wasn't McDaniels every time, and that's why he had a pretty successful first half. And then, you know, just at a certain point, the shots were no longer falling, or the turnovers were so dramatic that it didn't matter if you occasionally scored if you're also giving them the ball six times, which is what Devin Booker did in this game. So, you know, finding a way to clean up the turnovers, that's, you know, you're not going to do that entirely against a team with defense as good as the Minnesota Timberwolves, but you can also not turn it over 19 times. There's a balance between those two. Turn it over 8 times, turn it over 10 times. Okay, fine. And that'll take away some of the points because ultimately the Suns should have a better offense than the Minnesota Timberwolves as far as efficiency in scoring the ball. Have they? I don't know. I don't know the exact numbers on that, but they should. So if they limit the extra possessions that they're giving to the Minnesota Timberwolves, whether it be rebounding, which they did well in this game, they did terrible in game one, or turnovers, which obviously they did terrible in this game, and wasn't necessarily a problem in game one, but the rebounding gave them all those extra possessions, limit those, and then maybe you'll have a chance. You know, that's really the only way that they can win. Can I read you a tweet?
Read it to me.
This is from Devin Booker's brother. He deleted it.
Oh, no.
He deleted it. He said, at what point do you realize... At what point do you realize shit isn't funny? No way I'm sitting out here giggling with the opposing team while getting whooped.
Oh, he said that? Tonight? Yeah. And how soon after tweeting it did he delete it?
I don't know when it was deleted, but it was tweeted at 7:24, so about, you know, 20 minutes ago. Yeah. People know what time we're recording now, but that's about Brad, right? That's about Bradley Beal. I mean, we don't have to pretend we don't know that's about Bradley Beal, but that's clearly about Bradley Beal, right?
Yeah, I think it probably is. It's tough with Brad because he just, you know, sometimes he gives us gems. It's time, Amanda. And then sometimes he's just his own worst enemy. says the worst thing possible. And doesn't take the game seriously enough for a guy who supposedly really wants to be back playing NBA playoff basketball and important basketball again.
And he needs to step up.
Doesn't act like he's valuing
it. Brad kind of skates a little bit because of the amount of attention that, you know, people like you and I give to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker when they play badly. But, like, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker have had a lot more great games than Bradley Beal has had this season. And Bradley Beal, you know, he's paid like as good of a player. We always knew he wasn't quite as good of a player, but he really should have more of those great games, and it would be nice to see him step
up
too.
And again, even if we talk about the offseason, like, I know we haven't lost this series yet, but if we eventually arrive at this discussion where we have to talk about what happens next, we're going to have to phrase it in a way of like, here are all the Kevin Durant trades that could happen. Here are all the Devin Booker trades that could happen. Bradley Beal, we're stuck with him. Sorry. Yeah. No one wants him.
Unless he wants to leave.
That's the reality of how Bradley Beal, unless he really wants to leave, and then you're probably not. But like even then, who wants him? Orlando for a protected first round pick? Okay.
Jonathan Isaac.
Is that what his value is? Yeah. I mean, come on. So he's certainly not playing up to the contract.
We will continue to record after this.
I just want to say.
Yes, go ahead.
If you are a Suns fan going to the game on Friday, I salute you. I wish I was as strong. You are God's strongest soldier, because my stomach could not handle being there in person, especially with as much money as I'm sure those tickets cost, whether you're in the nosebleeds, whether you're courtside, doesn't matter. Best of luck to you guys who are going to be at the game, still behind this team, supporting them, wearing your colors. We'll be here.
Yep.
We'll be here.
Possibly live podcast on playback at some point. Before the next game as well, so keep an eye on our Twitter accounts. We'll talk about it there. That one will go up on the Patreon after we're done doing it live. And yeah, back after every game, we'll see if this team has anything left in them to not embarrass us. Yep, thanks everyone for listening.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.